I feel good. I'm excited to be here. I did some preparation for this Romans 14, and like Pastor Renee had told me once before, no matter what you do and how you practice, things are going to change and change and change. And so I thought, you know, Thursday was the last time. Then I thought Friday was the last time. Then I thought Saturday was the last time. My wife is just watching me at the computer doing this, that, and the other all day long. And then I said, yeah, I could rest, you know. And I sat back and laid in bed. I went to bed early. And then the Lord started talking to me. And I said, can I change that in the morning? So I went downstairs and I said, no, I have no time. So I came here and I looked at all the pages and I just started redlining. So I don't know what's going to really happen here. I plan to go through Romans 14. I want to read it, and I want to talk about some areas that I had struggles in, because that's what God has showed me. He says, Paul did a great job in writing Romans, and the section I have is Romans 14. But when I read this, I started looking at some things in between the lines, you know. What he wrote to the Romans was for the Romans, and he had some truths in there that the fact is that those words were great for the Romans, and they're good for us, but there were some transcendental truths that are going to run on forever. And within those truths, some things were pointed out in my life that I struggled with, and that some of them I'm still struggling with. And I would like to share that with you if you can bear with me on that. So, you know, we're going to continue with Romans, and Paul is teaching a delicate matter here. To some difficult folks, haters. I call them haters because they're folks having judgmental or critical attitudes and who are not demonstrating the love that Christ has or the humility that he showed us. As with most teachers, Paul is talking to the Romans. He's going to take them from what they know now, the known, and he's going to bring them to something they don't know, the unknown. And he's going to use this method of food to do the talking about in this chapter. And as you know, we all know a little bit about food. We could attest to that. The men can anyway, you know, the carnivores and the vegans. Matter of fact, when Pastor Debbie says, I said, what do you want me to talk on? And she said, Romans 14. I said, sure. Then I started reading Romans 14, and I said, it's talking about food. Then it's talking about weak people being vegetarians or something like that. And I said, how apropos. But then I found out it was a real purpose for her. She was gone, you know, that was all right. I said, was she trying to dig me or whatever? So, you know, when you listen to Paul, or when the Romans will listen to Paul, you try to figure out, as with everyone, why should I listen to you? You know, but we understand why they respected him so much. Philippians 3:5 outlines Paul's resume, essentially. See, he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. So he knew a bunch already. Before he was persecuting us back then, the disciples, Paul was already well-educated. You know, he had a doctorate. You know, our present day, we would consider a doctorate. He was very smart. So what God did, he just simply said, look, I'm going to use all that information you have. I'm going to add Jesus to the mix, and you're going to serve me, you know. So I was happy to read this and get a whole bunch from him. I would say he also was a good student, graduated in top percentile of his class, unlike, you know, me. But if I got a B, that was very good in class. I really admire him for this here. What other thing that Paul did is he wrote so much, and I really appreciate that. And I'm going to use a term that we were using in our class. Paul developed gazelle-like speed in sharing the gospel, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and he died for us, you and me, so we can enjoy eternal life with the Father. Now I would like to read Romans 14 entire and see what we can glean from that. But before, let's pray, shall we? Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I yield my mind and spirit to you. Take control, speak to us. Provide healing to those painful areas only you know about. We thank you now in advance for all you're about to do. Thank you, Father. Somebody here, shout amen. Somebody who loves them, shout hallelujah. Oh, glory. I just need to get a little bit of jitters away from me. I think I'm working on it, you know. I believe we can start now. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord. For they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean. But it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat milk or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So, whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but whoever have doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. May our God add a special blessing upon us as we study and meditate upon his word. Now, that's 23 verses. I can't cover all the, well, maybe. Pastor, and they gave me a whole bunch of extra time. I can't cover the entire 23 verses. And thinking about this as I was cutting and rehashing, I said, I need to cut some of this stuff out. It's just way too much. I tried to do too many quotes, and my mind couldn't remember, you know, John 3:16, necessarily all the stuff I had here. So I have a lot of stuff written down. But it's easy to talk about me and my sin, what used to be a sin in my life, for example, and some of the things I'm working on, because I don't think that some of the things I struggle with was just for me. I think, you know, other folks may have also. So I have a list of some areas that I struggled with, and that's, I called it Romans top 10 high points. Now, it's just a list. You know, when God was talking to me as I was reading this or revealing things to me, it was almost twice that long, but I had to cut it back because of time and everything else. And I hope to be like Paul with that gazelle speed and get through this. I had studied, tried to get through this list in 20 minutes, so I may have cut out a whole bunch, but as you can see, I can talk. So, accepting others. I used to be the opposite of these things. I have some verbs here, you know, action verbs saying some things we need to do. But see, I didn't accept a whole bunch of other folks before. I didn't appreciate our differences. I didn't understand my purpose. I couldn't stay focused. I didn't exercise brotherly love. I built walls up to guard what I had. I did the opposite of what was pleasing to God. I gossiped. I wasn't necessarily a peacemaker, an encourager. I didn't really have a good relationship with God. It wasn't happening. And whatever he was telling me in my conscience, I wasn't listening to. Accepting others, here I see Paul, the first one. I see Paul, he's talking to believers. It was encouraging to my spirit to find out that even we believers need encouraging and support. And at first I didn't get that he was even talking to believers, but the weak and the strong person he's talking to are both in the faith. And in the faith, to me, was someone who was following God. So it automatically tells me that we Christians, or we followers or disciples, even after we come to the Lord and accept Him as God, I mean, accept Jesus as Savior, we are different levels in the faith. Some people, we have a different walk. Everyone's not at the same point all the time. And here Paul is trying to let them know we are at different levels in Christ. Do not be upset or feel someone derogatory or speak derogatory to someone else because they're not at your level or at a level you think that should be higher. And how do we do that? Think like that. We judge. We have a judgmental attitude a lot. So Paul is going to encourage the folks here to be acceptable of others, minding them of their differences, and to act godly towards them. And the other thing is, he doesn't want us arguing over non-salvation issues. Arguing over non-salvation issues will keep you busy and deter you from your purpose in the Lord. There is no Christ-like attitude or humility in acting sometimes the way we do when we fuss and fight and judge one another. A weak person to me was like I was. The Bible talks about Gideon. In 639, and we know when God came to Gideon, Gideon put God to the test about the fleece. Gideon says, "Don't be angry with me, Lord. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece dry and the ground be covered with dew." Sometimes when we ask the Lord for something and he gives us a word, we still don't know if it's from him, you know. There's a whole bunch of jokes about, you know, the lady running around the supermarket and asking God for a parking spot, you know, and I'll do this. And once she gets it, oh, that wasn't God, you know, whatever. But we are like that so often. We are like Gideon. But I like that also because I can't be discouraged because Gideon questioned God, asked him for more information. Sometimes we look down on someone when they ask for another sign or additional information or they're not ready yet because they haven't heard from the Lord. Because I heard from the Lord don't necessarily mean you heard from the Lord. But the thing is, the transformation that God will do in each of our lives as with Gideon will be so powerful when we yield. So don't be upset at a weak brother. Don't be upset at a weak sister. God is working with them, and you don't know what's inside a person. I mean, we look at the outside. But we definitely don't know what's in the inside. You know, we have an idea. Our God is great. My wife, she didn't make it here today, but Pastor Renee met her, and a lovely woman. But my wife has a tremendous memory. sometimes that's to my default. You know, she will remind me of things that we did the mistakes I did a long time ago. I mean, one time she brought up something, I said, gee whiz, she was so accurate, I forgot all about it, you know. And when she brought up, I said, yeah. And then all of a sudden I start stooping because I felt bad then, and all of a sudden I'm feeling bad again, you know. But our God doesn't rehash what we were. He knows who we are and what we can become. You know, he has insider information on us. Oh, don't hate a weak brother or sister. Encourage and stop the hating. Appreciating our differences. When I look around here, and you look around, go ahead, just you can quickly look around. Now, the question I have, aren't you glad we don't all look alike? I am. We are different, you know. Some of us just look better than others. You have to get over it. I did, you know. Our God is a just God, but he isn't necessarily fair. I say he's not necessarily fair in that we all aren't provided the same things. We all don't have equal portions of anything. It isn't fair that I'm this slim and you're not. It isn't fair that I have a buff six-pack and you don't. It isn't fair. But God said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You know, when I was young, you know, and a little dorky, not a little dorky, a lot dorky, you know, with the big eyeglasses on, a math whiz, you know, wanting to hang around with the good guys or, you know, the popular folks and couldn't. I had dreams, you know. I was like, why can't I have a girlfriend like that too, you know? I just didn't have it, you know. It wasn't in me at the time. And I thought that nothing would ever happen. But then I'm presented later on with a wonderful wife, you know. I'm very appreciative of that. A lot of things I didn't have that I thought I needed or wanted back then was incorrect. And God blessed me on the other side. I mean, some of the ladies, you know, when they're, I'm not picking on the ladies, guys, but when they were looking for you, they were thinking about Tom Cruise looks, George Clooney charm, Brad Pitt body, and Bill Gates money, and they got me. And ladies, the guys, they were looking for anybody from Victoria's Secret. But they're blessed with you. You know? So, you know, what we need to do is really thank God for what we have. Don't hang around what we, you know, what we want. It was a memory back then, what I thought I needed, but I'm so thankful that God, who was working on my behalf, gave me what I really needed. Now, here at Sanctuary, for example, differences work well in this body right here. If everyone was a greeter, who would do the speaking? If everyone was the speaker, who would do the setup, the singing, the ushering? If we all were an eyeball, we would see everything clearly and do nothing. We should celebrate our differences and know that every different part is important. I paraphrase from Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:17. But God has placed us here together with these differences and unique abilities. So cherish the differences. Don't hate, appreciate. You know, staying true to my calling could have been easy had I continually rekindled the love, my first love. When I came to the Lord, I was on fire, happy. Do anything, you know. I could hear from him. I had faith that big, you know. Nothing you could have said at that time would have hurt me. It would just bounced off because I had that protection from God. It was all armor around me, and I knew it. I was on fire. Essentially, what God was doing was I was a babe, and as the babes, and what parents do to babes, they protect them. You can cry all you want. You get milk every time you cry, you know. You get your diaper changed. You get food anytime you want. And God was protecting me when I came to him, and he was my first love. What happened over the years, I've grown up, but grown away from my first love. So I've lost my focus on what God wanted me to be. So I should be thankful in all circumstances. I understand that. But I got away. I mean, if you just think about, well, some of you guys who are married, think about when you were courting your wife, how happy you were, how everything smelled good around her. I mean, even if you walked into her house, the odor, the aroma, all that was just good. And you can call your fiance, it wasn't your husband then, you know, the ladies can call him up, and y'all can talk for hours and say nothing, you know. But right now, you want to say, hey, get to the point, you know, what are you talking about, you know. So my wife and I used to play these little card games in bed and chat and go everywhere together. And I was looking at that when I started studying for this. I said, that was my first love. Those were some happy moments. What happened to those? The ones who keep those moments alive have great marriages, happy times. They remember what brought them together. They rekindle it all the time, and they keep going. So God wants us to do the same with him. Remember why, how, and when you came to know him. Get back into that mode of really serving him. Worship our God. Make disciples. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your God in heaven. I found out that as I met the Lord and strayed away and came back to the Lord, that God is the only one who will not let me down. Everyone else has. Everyone else. At some point in life, people will fail you. You will be unhappy at some point in life. So it's good to have an anchor of our Lord at your side all the time. Hold on to him. Put your trust in him and no one else. Everything else is good, I'm saying, but compared to the trust you have in our God, you have no trust in anyone else. Oh, did I ever get ahead of myself? Hallelujah. I think I have. Oh, yeah. Yes. Till death do us part, I will die for you, but will I live for you? Okay. Let's go to 4. Let's skip that. I may have covered it. I may have covered this too, didn't I? Glory to God. Stay in focus. Some of us, when we came to the Lord, made some promises to him. I remember one time when I was in Vietnam and I was running for cover or something like that. I cried out to the Lord, Lord God, if you will save me now, I will do this, that, and the other. A lot of folks come to the Lord in dire needs and straits and stuff like that. Lord, if you will save my marriage, I will do this. Lord, if you will keep me off of drugs, I will do this. Lord, if you will help me find a girlfriend, I will do this. Lord, if you will help me find a husband or a wife, I will do this. And I keep asking myself, I made a lot of promises or asked a lot of requests for the Lord, and he's answered. And over the years, I just have to question myself now, did I answer all the promises that was I truthful to God when I made these requests and came back to him? And one of the things that used to keep me off of being focused was a critical spirit, complaining spirit, derailed my focus, and I didn't know how at the time to get rid of it, and I could find fault in almost anything you did. I would look at you, and I don't care how well you were dressed, I would find something wrong. I can look at you and didn't care how well you smelled, but I can find something wrong. I can look at you, and I don't care how well you cooked me a meal, I would find something wrong. that was all me with a bad spirit. And that critical spirit really hurt it, later on hurt my family and my kids, because the kids were growing up around me, and sometimes as a small youngsters, they thought the way I was acting was the way to be later on in life. Had someone, you know, poured into my life to tell me, hey, don't act like that because your kids are going to marry your spouse later on. Daddy is the greatest thing to a young girl growing up. Mommy is the greatest thing to a young boy growing up. I married my mama. I prayed for a woman like my mama. Did I really want it? I didn't find out later on in life until my mother was well over 60 that she nagged. Because it was all words of love when I was growing up. And you know what? The thing is that just like you could feel the spirit of the Lord, children growing up feel their parents' spirit. You emit things from them. It's like an electromagnetic force. You're going to indulge them with them. So you need love in your household. You need to make some commitments to one another, how to act around your children so they pick up the right stuff. You're just like your daddy. You don't want to hear that. You're just like your mama. You don't want to hear that unless it's on a positive note. You want to say things like that only on the positive notes. When you're comparing someone else to someone else like that, you're acting just like this person. Be positive. Encourage the person. Tell them what they can be like. Don't give them words to slam and put them down. Cast out that critical spirit and get back on track to your first love. Loving and serving God is with great passion. By the way, God will help you get rid of any and all non-productive spirits. Brotherly love. I didn't even know what this meant when I was growing up. I went to church when I was younger with my parents. I didn't meet the Lord really until I was way over 20 overseas. But I had a glimpse of it when I first got saved, and people who were discipling me at the time. And it was easy to do again like that. But I found in the church since my early 20s and going around the world and different spots and visiting many churches and going to many churches, that exercising brotherly love is sometimes a hard deal for some Christians to do. And I sort of wondered, why is that? And I still don't know, except for maybe we have drifted away from the Lord. Because what we've done, we've gotten real smart here with the Word. And someone used to say, you know, it's a long distance between your brain and your heart to get that information down. But some folks, you know, who don't even know the Word real well could love real good. So do you get impacted with the Word so much and know so much that you use that Word to blast somebody, to become critical? The answer is we shouldn't. After all the love that Jesus shown us and taught us, it's hard to fathom why we church folks still have issues in expressing brotherly love. We need to stop the hating and stop the gossiping. If you really know me, you would know my Father as well, Jesus said. From now on, you will know him and have seen him. I think about Jesus a lot, and I think about God, especially when it says that we're going to be before the Father and have to give an account of ourselves. And I picture myself there, and I want to say, what will I say before God when I get to, you know, on that day? And I wonder if you have thought, on that day, what will I say? And I hope that I could be bold enough, since I'm supposed to be robed in his righteousness now, to say, yes, Lord, God, I have believed in Jesus Christ as your son. I believe he died for me on the cross. I believe he rose again. I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. Now, Father God, let me into your kingdom. You know, I trust God to do what he's going to do, what he said he's going to do. So hopefully I too can do my part to enter in his kingdom and be someplace in one of those big rooms. Stop the hating. An old guy before said, can't we all get along? And I think that's one of the things we need to do. We do that well here, by the way. This is not a blast over here. This is just when some of the things that I went through when I was growing up and then reading this that was refreshed in my mind. We show love here very well. We don't backbite. We don't have the gossip. We don't have all of my issues. Some of you may have had some of it, but it's been gone now. The walls divide. And I found out also with the walls I have built up, it's difficult to share the gospel when you build walls. Yeah. It's difficult. There was a wall built in my house. I mean, you guys were there. You know, this meeting was the first time we had church folks over on a consistent basis. And I've had people over our house a lot. But, you know, I used the excuse that we're so far out so no one's going to come anyway. You know, how you rationalize things in your mind, you know, when you don't want to do something or when you do something. When it's wrong, you will rationalize. When you do something and it's right, you want to share it. You know, the other ways you want to justify why you did it. And that was me. My words and actions, see, that I need to realize, my words and your actions could delay someone else's growth. What we do is being observed all the time. You know, so, and I used to have a legalistic view of things. I don't know if it was because of the job I had at, you know, with the government, but I used to look at everything cut and dry, black and white, or whatever. There was no grace in regulations. I was like, had the Ten Commandments and all the Deuteronomy, thou shalt not, you know, or this is going to happen to you, you know. But I am no longer legalistic, I believe. I have more room for grace now than anything because grace and mercy was showing us so much. I just appreciate it, and I know you guys do too. And a good thing is that, you know, people used to talk about Bible thumpers. And that was one of the reasons my wife had sort of stopped going to church before, because people used to just come by and just pound her with the Bible information, whatever. And now when I was reading this, I would say, hey, you know, we're not Bible police, you know. We don't have to run around and correct everyone on everything they do. And I said, you know, I was looking at it. I said, you know, that's all right. Jesus didn't do that either. When Jesus walked through the crowds, I'm sure there were some sinners around. I'm sure there was a whole lot of sinners around. And then what did he do anyway? I mean, the Pharisees pointed out, look, he sits with a sinner. Even when he sat down with sinners or the girl at the well, you know, bad behavior, he didn't condemn her. But so I'm trying to figure out, where did I get that action that I had to go around and correct people all the time instead of encouraging them and showing them the way that God wish. The gospel doesn't say condemn one another. It says love one another. And that's something that I could say that I have checked off the box and don't have to go there anymore on. And the only wall that we really need or should desire around us is that wall or hedge of protection that Jesus affords us to bless us. Everything else could come down. When you are on the right path with the Lord, and clothed and doing his work, he will protect us. He will put that hedge up just like he did to stop Satan from getting to Job. And what was so great in reading that, Job recognized it. I mean, Satan recognized it right away. I can't touch him because you have that hedge around him. And I've seen that happen in my life also, where sometimes folks had wanted to do something on the job or whatever. It was normally job-related, but I know when I went to work, I always knew that God was my source. He placed me there to do a great job, and so as long as I do a great job there, I represented him at the work, and everything would be all right, and I trusted that. And sometime an outsider would come in and want to do something, change things around, and say, I'm going to move you out this way or another. God kept protecting me. He always put people right in my life to do something right for me, to bless me, you know. people used to worry about other folks making a whole lot of money. And I heard somebody says, no, you don't do that. You celebrate that. Even if they're wicked, you celebrate it. Because God says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for us. You let them make the money, and he's going to take it away and give it to you anyway, you know, somehow like that. So go ahead and make it. I don't mind you making money at all. If you're a bad guy, you're in trouble. I'm getting your stuff, you know. Because I just know that God's going to continually bless me. I've crossed that path already into blessings. And I know where the portholes are now. I know the blessing he's already placed there. All he needs to do now is maneuver you to the right spot. And you can't get maneuvered to the right spot unless you're on his page and listening to his voice. And when you get there, it just rains on you. And I'm saying, I'm living proof. If we are in this private setting, I could tell you I'm living proof that it happens like that. That this thing of following God and being blessed will knock your socks off. Will knock your socks off. How are these pages changing by itself? Over there. Hallelujah. Pleasing our Lord. God. Hey, we're going to finish. Thank you, Pastor Renee. I bless you. Pastor Renee, I'm blessing her because my time would have been up right now. And I was going to say that if I don't get through in 30 minutes, I'm going to take everyone else out to lunch, you know, by the time, you know. And so I made sure I brought two credit cards, you know. I was going to invite all you guys out to lunch. And then I came up, I said, oh, this two songs, earliness. I said, oh, my God, she's blessing me. I'm going to have more time. Hallelujah. So you guys missed out on a lunch, except for that young man there. Oh, yes, true. The next one I have is pleasing our Lord. Oh, do what is pleasing our Lord. I read across this, and I said, you know, oh, well, let's see where it is. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives his human approval. I just got to give a testimony here. You're right. I may still owe this. The testimony is that when I started serving God and knew that and wanting to do everything right and giving thanks in all situations, not complaining, and praising him. I mean, I used to go to work. I sit down on my radar unit at night or whatever, and it'd just be he and I. We have these preventive maintenance routines to do. Preventive maintenance is PMIs or something like that. You do them at late at night so that in the morning the aircraft, you know, the radar be back up, the aircraft can fly and all this other stuff. At nighttime where we're at, flying at those particular hours forbidden. I remember on a number of occasions that the radar was not coming up. I had some problems. And I would say, I'd start talking to the Lord. I mean, I had to talk to somebody. I was frustrated. And, you know, my cursing days was over then, you know. I couldn't say God darshan anymore. I couldn't do a whole bunch of other stuff. So what could I do with my mouth? I wasn't singing back then. So I started talking to the Lord. And I couldn't, sometimes I have to put my hand around and put some nuts on these screws or something like this here. And if you ever try to put a little nut on a screw that you can't see, it's very difficult. So, and you could, and when it drops, you have to try and get a magnet and find it and use it back up. So I have found myself talking to the Lord, and sometimes I get frustrated. Says, okay, Lord, please help me with this here. Boom. Next 3 seconds, I got it lined up. Now, some people say it was going to happen anyway, but it didn't happen until I talked to the Lord. So I'm sorry, I got to go the other way. But it happened like that on a number of occasions. I would sit down and take my time and do things and talk to the Lord. And then what I found out when I was talking to the Lord, taking my time and doing my work, the product that I was giving my customer, which was the United States Air Force at the time, which was the air traffic control folks at the time, became very stable and usable. And so I started getting awards. What's that about? I didn't know that those awards would do anything until later on. When they looked at my record later on, I came here, they said, oh, you got this, that, and the other. You're a very good worker. It's like a resume or something like this here. We could give you this job that even though you don't have the educational qualification for. You have all the experiences outlined in all these things you got. So we're going to give you that. So I look at this, I says, God knew my ending while I was looking at my beginning. He was preparing me for a job in the future that I had no idea about. 30 years earlier, I was prepared for a job that I'd have 30 years later. And I could look and say, oh, how did I get this? Only God. Only God. Because I did not have the credentials. I had the right mind. I had the right experience. I had the right knowledge. But I didn't have the right paperwork. So when God takes you, you know, don't look at yourself and say what you don't have. Look at yourself and say, what can I offer to God and he can make better? And he made better, better, and better again. And I'm so happy. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, I'm happy. I'm happy. I tell you, never mind, I can't get into that. That'd be. I want to brag on the Lord. That's what I want to do. I want to tell you that it's great. I want to tell you that what's in these words are life, and it's good for you. You need to be exposed to something like this. You need to sit at the feet of some of these people just like that, you know, and learn from some other old folks like myself that, you know, this stuff works. There's a few old folks in here. How you doing back there? That's my brother. He's old. We got it going on. Plus, he likes some of the same food I like, so great. Now, when the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's ways, you know this one, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. This is Proverbs 16:7, you know. The good news here is that with God working on your behalf, like David, you can just sit back and let and watch him work. You commit your ways to him, you sit back and watch him work. That's all. You can start, that's when you start rooting. You go, God, you know what I need. Kick that dude's backside. Don't let him mess with me anymore. I'm on your mission. And that's what it is. It's all about fulfilling your purpose with the Lord. If you're willing to work in the purpose that God gave you, he will clear the path for you. Anyone in your way, he will move out. Whatever supplies you need, he will provide for you. Whether it's money, house, a car, a tire, or whatever, good wife, good husband, whatever you need, he's going to provide. You may be worrying about this event in your life or that event in your life, but you should just remember what you studied earlier in Romans 8:28. And we know that God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Called according to his purpose. A lot of times we look at things, what's for us? When you do his stuff, the word says, and let's see, the thing. When we do his stuff, our stuff will be added. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Whatever those things you need, God's going to provide for you after you start doing what he wants. Or just start it. You don't even have to complete it. God's going to say, oh, he's working for me. He's the great employer. You know, and the other thing is, this is, I had to speak to my daughter about this. We had this little thing going on. I look at things, how can we, after responding to the call that God placed on our lives, and know he's working on our behalf, be upset, envious, or jealous of another brother or sister? And here's the example I'm talking about. One of my children were going to college at the time, Tufts University or whatever, and I was flipping the bill, of course, at the time. And she thought it unfair that some other person was coming there and only had to pay $5,000, where we had to pay over $25,000. I said, you should not be mad for them. You should be happy for them. Because, see, they are coming in because of their financial and family background. God has blessed our family to pay for this. I've been blessed. They looked at what I had at the time to provide this. These other folks didn't have it, but the person had what? The ability, the capability, the knowledge. The other person was just as sharp as my child. So why not? Why didn't the college look, you know, to help them out? So I said, you have to celebrate folks like that, because if you don't, you're trying to pass judgment on them. And we should not be passing judgment on anyone else. Because as we found out in this whole chapter, which is about judging, we as human will judge falsely because we don't have all the information. We see things only from our shading, our tinted view, and how we expect things should be. And it always, you know, benefit us. You know, there's something about that. How to get over that, again, is what we espouse here, you know, like God. Love is the answer. If you love one another, you will please God, and others will definitely see your good works and glorify our God in heaven. I was editing here for some reason this morning on becoming a peacemaker, I wrote down and read, contrary to popular belief, gossiping is not a form of sharing the gospel. I'll just say it like this, I guess. Men don't gossip. We discuss things. Yeah, I heard. Yeah, it's too bad about that. And a lot of times when men talk about things, or sometimes even about folks, we don't get too much into the judging, you know, that gossiping will do. But when my wife come out of a session, or my girls come out of a session, they know the remedy for everything. This person did this, and they have a 10-point plan of why they shouldn't have done it, how they should have acted, what they should have done, and how to fix what they're in. Professor Sweetheart.
You should have came, baby. You should have came.
Jesus desires that we become peacemakers, and he's empowered us to be so. He has given us his peace, remember? My peace I give you. He's calm in all situations. You remember when it was out on the storm, you know, the people were yelling at him, hey, man, don't you know we're about to drown here or die? Don't you care? He's asleep in the storm. No, everything's okay. But the thing I worried about is that Jesus telling us to be a peacemaker is that sometimes you really need to think what you're doing, because, and sometimes we do know what we're doing. Sometimes it's intentional that we say things that could harm or kill someone else. We will say something sometime on spite. We know that by saying something, I mean, I've watched some of these reality shows that's on TV, you know. I've seen some of these movies. I mean, we're set apart from them now, but our old behavior would say, hey, yeah, I've messed up in that area, and I know that I have. And we do this. How do we kill a brother or sister, you know? When we elevate something or say something just to prove our point and put theirs down, or to make sure that we are right and they're not. So stop the hating and start the loving. In my generation, we had a saying, make peace, not war. And I couldn't say that with love in it, so I changed it to give love and not hate. You know, so because if you're not married, I didn't want to say anything like that around here. So, you know, we have some single folks around here and some immature adults here.
Look at Bob saying, yeah, you do, brother. You know my children are back there.
And this one here was tough for me before, improving my relationship with our Lord, and listening to him and trying to understand him and understand his word, because at one time this Bible thing, even reading, I said, well, I'm a Christian, shouldn't I understand this Bible? And it didn't come to me good at all. So why isn't it coming to me that since I've already given you my life, why isn't the understanding of your word there? I didn't know that there were some other things I needed to do. I didn't know that I should talk to the Lord and pray to him and ask him certain things and get closer to him, because sometimes people will just read something for ammunition. I didn't need ammunition. I needed understanding. And so once I got that, it was real good. And now he even reveals something. And I've come to find out now, since I'm a little old and had a few revelations, that every revelation God provides you or I is not for everyone else. Some things are just for us. Some things are just to draw us nearer to the Lord. And because the bottom line was, in strengthening my relationship with God, I had to stop worrying about your relationship with God and worry about my relationship with God. Because this is the only body I had to control over. Not my kids, not my wife, not anybody at the office. I only had my relationship to make. But then again, if you think about it, that's great, because other folks are watching you. So if you're getting close to the Lord, they're observing it, and they know something's good going on in your life and may want to find out why. Don't gossip again about my lack of faith and growth. Matter of fact, as you increase your faith and relationship with God, your gossiping will change to encouragement and praise. So I'm expecting you to grow, brothers and sisters. I need some encouragement and praise heaped on me, you know, big time. The home stretch almost, oh my gosh. You were behind me by one because I didn't give you the signal, brother. That's two lunches. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, listening to your conscience. Well, as we all know on this one here, Jesus resides in us, and we have the ability, capability, willingness, and we should definitely have the command almost to talk to him almost daily, if not multiple times a day. And not only should we talk to him, we should listen to him. So it's like you're conscious, listening to our Lord. His words are life. And we know that the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. In 2 Corinthians 3:17. And we sort of remember that our God is working on our behalf. He's not a hater. He emits love. Sometimes I regret not listening to the Lord earlier in my life when I heard things. I would even say, you know, as probably mentioned before, you know, like some people says, they heard something, but they says, no, the devil is a lie, you know. But the thing was that a lot of times when we hear something, we don't want to believe it because it's not advantageous to us. What he's telling us to do is advantageous to someone else. And we don't want to serve that other person. Matter of fact, we don't like to serve anyone in human nature. We will take care of our children and our immediate family, but serving someone else with no recompense, no reward, no payment is something we don't like to do. Yeah, we'll do volunteer work, but that volunteer work has to be seen. Do we do something that's not seen? Do we look at our Lord and say, yeah, I'm going to do that the way you want, Father. I'm going to do it with the right hand and not let the left hand know what I'm doing. I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm not looking for praise from man, but I know that you're happy with what I'm doing. Had I done that, I could have been much further than I am now in all ways. Not financially, but relationship-wise. And relationship to us is very important. In the home, at the office, at the church, even on the street, even if you do yard work. Wherever we go, we want people to embrace us somehow, luckily. But as I said earlier, there's going to be failures in that area. We're going to fail people. It's almost, you should expect folks to fail you. so that if they don't, you can bless them and encourage them and whatever. And knowing that the only steady rock fast person you have is God. Hallelujah.
Oh, you're right. I better hurry up.
Since we've just completed the chapter, oh, bless you, Lord. The question now to us should be, where are you and what is your relationship with our Lord? Are you a sinner or have you accepted that you are a sinner? Do you want forgiveness for your sin? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again? Are you willing to surrender your life to Christ? Are you ready to invite Jesus into your heart and your life? And the answer should be, I guess, if you're not already there in the family of Christ, yes. We know, everyone here knows now, that life is not easy for us here. This rough spot. We're pulled in different directions. So much going on to distract us from our purpose of what we should be doing. I mean, Jesus told his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. He knew it, you know, and this was in Luke 17:1. He told them things are going to happen. But, you know, as you prepare yourself for that, you need some help. I need some help. So since we know that we can't overcome all these issues and drama on our own, you know, if you don't know already, if you're not in the family, you know that we need somebody to help us. And we need a merciful God. We need somebody compassionate. Not our moms, not our pops, not our kids. They can only go so far. Not our friends. We need a compassionate God. And Jesus the Christ is the way to that compassionate God. Now, as I look around here, you all look like family. All of you. So this probably is not applicable to you at all. But I just wanted to say that. I had struggles in a bunch of these areas. I've overcome a bunch of those areas. I'm still working on a few of those areas. And if you need help in any one of those areas, you're welcome to come right now or whatever. And I thank you for the time, and I would like to bless our Lord for our moment here together and ask Pastor Renee to come up. Lord, bless you, and thank you, Father, for the time you shared.